Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Before you dive into this episode, I wanted to be the bearer of some truly great news. This episode was recorded before Amy had received some really great news regarding her health. Her last health check revealed that, in fact, there is no evidence of disease. Fantastic stuff. As you're about to hear, boy oh boy, does this girl deserve a break when it comes to her health. Enjoy. Coming up on this episode of White Wine Question Time.
And you know, I never thought at 32 years old I would be diagnosed with breast cancer. I do not carry the BRCA gene. Had mastectomy, fertility treatment, chemotherapy, blood clot, that says the broken foot. Yeah, lost my hair. Like, you know, I'm still in recovery, I guess, from chemo. For the length of time you have chemo. So yeah, it's all still very real at the moment and raw. He put his career on hold and finish his competitive career to allow me to go off and continue to live my dreams and go on Strictly. I know deep down he wasn't ready to hang his dancing shoes up competitively, but he did that in order for me to fulfill my dreams. And there's not many men out there, I believe, who would have done that in our dancing world.
Strange question to ask about a couple who are professional dancers, but who made the first move?
I'm going to say him. He would say me. So who knows? I always say, don't get bitter, get better.
Hello and welcome to White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks its guests three thought-provoking questions, usually, but not today, over three glasses of wine. You'll see why. My guest today is, well, she's incredibly impressive. She's a woman who is made of extremely strong stuff, which is probably not at all what you see when you first come across her in action as one of the pros on Strictly Come Dancing. But it's her resilience that's arguably more impressive than even her footwork. And as a former British Latin American dance champion, that really is saying something. For me, what makes her so remarkable is the fact that she's achieved all of that whilst, for the most part, secretly battling Crohn's disease, a lifelong chronic condition. And then in May last year, a cancer diagnosis came, followed by fertility treatment, a mastectomy and chemotherapy, during which she developed sepsis, which put her in intensive care, with doctors warning her that her condition was alarming and life-threatening. In fact, she was still in hospital in December, which was also the same month that saw her dance in the group opening number at the Strictly final, opting to perform without a wig after losing her hair during treatment. That's what I mean about remarkable. It was a moment that, for me, crowned her as my winner of Strictly last year, hands down. So who is she? Well, she was born and raised in Wales. She became obsessed with dancing at the age of 8, went on to win countless competitions dancing with her twin sister, whilst dealing with endless bouts of hospitalisation across her childhood that would later be diagnosed as Crohn's, but not until she was 19. And that diagnosis was life-changing. It meant that whilst it was terrible news, she was able to better manage her condition because she knew what it was. And in that same year, she was partnered with a young male dancer, Ben Jones, the man she would go on to not only fall in love with and marry, but also to win the British Championships with at Blackpool. And then in 2017, the call that she'd prayed for came, Strictly called. They wanted her to join the pro lineup. It was, she says, all she'd ever wanted, to be a dancer on Strictly. 2 years after she joined, she went public with her Crohn's condition, having previously hidden it for fear that it would hurt her career. and then went on to make a brilliant documentary about what it is to live with the disease, which is really heartbreaking in places and leaves you just brimming with respect and admiration for her in others. She's hoping to return to Strictly this year, and I really, really can't wait to see her take a partner to the floor. I don't underestimate for 1 minute her ability to get better and get herself there, because, well, she's pretty unstoppable, even if she's doing it on one foot, as she did this year, because, oh, I forgot to mention, didn't I? Yeah, when she appeared at the Strictly final, she'd broken her foot. Let's dial her in. It's the remarkable Amy Dowden. How are you?
No, thank you, Kate. Thank you so much. I'm doing well, thank you. Yeah, and, you know, coming back now, I feel to normal Amy after the chemotherapy, because it takes some time. You know, your body goes really through it. So, yeah, day by day, getting stronger, getting better, and feeling like Amy again.
I mean, what you've been through, Amy, is, I mean, it's like a cruel joke. It's cruel, the amount of ill health that has just been put upon you, a chronic condition that you spent your entire childhood trying to understand and live with. Mm-hmm. Then you get on top of that. You have these halcyon days where you're more better than you're ill. You're able to really progress your career. Strictly, you go public with the announcement that, you know, I've got Crohn's. You show us in heartbreaking detail what it is to deal with it, and then the cancer diagnosis, then the sepsis, then the broken foot. I mean, even as you sit here today, you've got a cold. Enough already. Give the woman a break.
Yeah, but I always say, don't get bitter, get better. And I constantly told myself, this too shall pass. And I think just dreaming and, you know, imagine myself back on that dance floor is what got me from the lowest of days, I think.
Can I just take a moment to commend you for getting to the Strictly final? Because, I mean, I had to rewind it, because the first time I watched it, the tears blurred my vision. Genuinely, it was a moment. How on earth did you get yourself there? Because you were in hospital the same month.
Yeah, so I'd got rushed in at the beginning of December with a blood clot on my lung, and I become quite poorly with it. But I also broke my foot. So the plan was for me to have danced in a semi-final and a number about my cancer journey. And then when I broke my foot, I was devastated, because that meant I wasn't able to do that. But the Strictly family, as you well know, are just incredible. And, you know, they knew I just wanted to get myself back on that dance floor before the year ended and after what I'd been through. So Jason Gilkinson, the creative director,
who's just let's give him a little shout out, shall we? Because he's somebody that nobody ever sees, but without him, that show just wouldn't be that show. He's so important and integral to it, isn't he?
Yes, and he's a creative genius.
Yeah. He's in charge of every move, isn't he, really?
Yes. Yeah. He gets the best out of us all. And he came up to me the 1 week and he said, I've got an idea. Let's get you on the podium. Let's do some armography, some fantasy. Get you there. And the smile on my face, I can remember Jack Leadbill, he said, a series producer, he's like, he had goosebumps. He was like, oh, when Jason was talking about it. Yeah, and I worked so closely with Sarah James. And I was just so grateful to have had that moment. And the nerves and how I felt just before was like exactly everything I've missed about performing live to an audience. And then the roar I received, because it was one big secret.
You told nobody, did you? Your parents didn't know, did they?
No, my twin sister was in the audience. And when she saw me all of a sudden appear on the podium, she burst into tears. And then the audience just roared. It was just, and everything I've missed about performing, you know, the nerves, the excitement, the adrenaline afterwards. I absolutely loved it. And I wanted to do it bold because I just wanted to show, you know, the reality and to help others and others facing this journey and, you know, to try and help break the stigma. Definitely, you know, something that afterwards I was really proud of.
I can't think of a minute in your life that you shouldn't be proud of yourself. I mean, I'm sure there's stuff that I don't know and that's very much your business. But honestly, Amy, you are remarkable. You march on in the face of such adversity sometimes. It's really, you know, I think the whole country that was following the Strictly journey this year felt your absence acutely and was so, I mean, honestly, the moment you appeared on that podium, it was joyous to see you well enough to be there. I think you've got the goodwill of every ballroom loving Brit behind you.
Oh, thank you. And my aim is really to get myself as fit and healthy as I possibly can to be back with the Strictly family this year and going for their glitter ball.
But I'll tell you what, you've not rested on your laurels. You've got a second series of your BBC show. It's made for CBBC. It's available on iPlayer. It's called Dare to Dance. And this is you kind of creating those magical moments that you love so much about dancing. All the feels that you get from it, you are trying to bestow onto others. Tell me about the show and how you came to be hosting it.
Yeah, so the BBC got in contact with me, BBC Wales, after I did my documentary about Crohn's and me, and we have lots of chats, and they could just see that my passion is teaching and spreading my love of dance. I have my own dance academy, and for me, just, you know, giving people their dreams. So Strictly is for celebrities, but there's so many people in the public who would love that opportunity. Mm. So basically, I come along, and the most incredible, extraordinary people who've done so much themselves for the community and really deserve this moment, I show up in their life, teach them a dance to perform in a big moment, you know, whether it be a birthday party, a wedding. And it's just amazing. And, you know, they go through all the highs and lows. I'm there with them every step of the way. Last year was incredible. And this year, I cannot wait for everyone to see it. It's coming out on the 1st of March, hopefully. It's definitely coming out in March and available on iPlayer. But actually, it's what got me through my spring. So I started filming the week I was waiting for my results to know if I had breast cancer. The producer knew something was wrong, the exec, Jackie, who is an incredible, incredible producer. And she'd even spoken to the commission and was like, I don't know what it is, but something's definitely not right with Amy. I can just tell. And obviously then later in the week, I told them that I was unfortunately been diagnosed with breast cancer. But being the incredible team they are, they kept the show going, and I had surgery and a little break, and then we got back to it, and we managed to fit it all in before I started chemo. But it was exactly what I needed. You know, everything I love about dancing, choreographing, teaching, watching people perform, you know, like, it was just, brilliant. And it was the tonic that I needed in that time. And the contributors helped me endlessly. They've all got such incredible stories, which I cannot wait for the nation, you know, to get to learn more about them. But I learned so much from them as well, which helped me in a time of need as well. But they're all so uplifting. If you love Strictly, you're going to love Dare to Dance. And yeah, honestly, I'm so excited. I'm so grateful for the opportunity as well.
So there's one story I watched on the show from the last season where this wonderful woman gets to learn a dance. She's always wanted to dance, and she gets to partner with her grandson, which is just wonderful. It's that beautiful moment where he's got her in hold. You know, she's looking into the eyes of somebody that she's, you know, whose nappy she changed, she loves dearly. It's just, it's not just a minute, it's a proper moment that neither of them will ever forget. And you have helped to bring that together.
Exactly. And she had no idea. So I'd met up with her grandchild yesterday, and I just asked him, would you dance with your nan? And I can remember opening the curtains and saying, this is going to be your dance partner. And there her grandson was. And she was so emotional because, you know, and for the families to be able to watch it.
I mean, she wanted to dance, but she didn't know that you were going to spring that on her, which made something special, forever special, didn't it?
Yeah, but it was special for her daughter, Yastin's mum as well, to watch. And also her son, who she looks after and does so much for. Gareth, who has Down syndrome, and Sean does everything for everyone. And her grandson, Yastin, said, she puts herself last on the list, sixth or seventh. She does everything for everybody else rather than herself. And, you know, for, you know, her grandson to even recognize that and say that, a young boy to say that, you just know, Sian is just somebody, you know, who is just incredible. And her grandson, her son, Gareth, with Down syndrome, he loves dancing and he goes to dance classes. So, you know, when he sees his mum, you know, step out and his nephew onto the dance floor and perform that waltz and, you know, in the, you know, beautiful costumes and everything. Oh, it was just, he was crying. He was so emotional and so happy. It was just such a beautiful moment. It really was. One that you want to bottle up and keep forever.
See, now, when you talk about it like that, I can see why you needed that at that time as much as they needed you to be well enough to do it, because that probably really, really gave you the lift that you needed when everything else was so low for you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's the contributor this year, you know, Kirsty, which I don't want to say too much.
No, don't give it away.
Because I don't want to give things away, but there are certain people and some with stories that you will see that can really resonate and connect with me with their own health battles. And yeah, it was like they were sent to me in a way, all of them. And yeah, it was definitely something I'm just super proud of. I literally cannot wait for it to come out. I really, really can't.
I followed you loud and clear on your first series and I really look forward to the second. So if anybody wants to dive in, there will be two seasons available on iPlayer. And it's like, it's just a feel-good sandwich rolled in glitter and set to music with a beautiful choreography. It's lovely. Congratulations.
Thank you, Kate. Thank you.
So I've devised three questions for you, Amy. There's about a million that I wanted to ask you, but only three is what we have today. So do you mind if I dive in on the first one?
Let's do it.
I wanted to explore the importance of great passion and the determination that it extracts from the human spirit in the face of the kind of pain that you have experienced across the course of your childhood. And I'm talking in the, you know, across your childhood about Crohn's disease, because I think if without your passion and your obsession with dance, would you have, you know, would you have been able to remain so determined to keep getting better every time it knocked you off your feet? And especially when you were trying to keep it a secret. So you never ever told anybody on the dance circuit, on the competition circuit, that this is what you were dealing with. And yet you were spending weeks, months at a time in hospital. So how important is passion in the face of lifelong pain?
I think it's incredibly important. And I think it's what's helped me get out of, you know, times where I was at my lowest points in my life, I guess. But I think Crohn's and my dancing dreams, I'm not sure without either of them would I have been the person I am actually today. I wouldn't say that when I'm in the flare-up and I'm in absolute agony. But I've, you know, experienced pain where it makes me pass out and I'm hospitalized for weeks and sick. And I know what it feels like to have my dancing taken away from me, something I love most. And I hated that feeling. So, you know, whenever I am well, then I make the most of every opportunity. And I like to think when I'm in the training room, I can push myself that little bit further because I faced real hard challenges and pain. And then again, you know, when doctors or people have said to you, oh, you won't be able to make it because, you know, of your Crohn's, I always just think, how do you know? You're not living in my life. You don't have this condition. Or if people used to say it, or the rejections I had because of my illness, actually, it made me more determined to prove people wrong. Yeah. When people say to me, you can't do that, I turn around and it makes me even more determined to do it. Yeah. I am like, I will. And like saying, you can't, Amy, is the worst thing to say to me.
Drop the tear. So yes, I think, can. Yeah.
Yeah. And I do wonder, had I not been at the lowest of lows with my Crohn's and had gone through that battle, you know, and I would live with it for the rest of my life. But I'm not sure, would I be the person I am today? Because I do think it has taught me resilience. It's taught me to be grateful. You know, having my passion for my dancing is what's, you know, got me out of, like, you know, those flare-ups and those times where it's really tough, you know, and I guess, you know, to push yourself, because you can get yourself into mental low places as well. But that dream of being back on the dance floor is what's got me out of bed. So, yeah, dancing and my passion for dancing has helped me there.
I think it's been your greatest doctor in many ways. Watching your documentary, first and foremost, thank you for educating people on the realities, because I think in so many ways, like the language that people apply around Crohn's, it's Crohn's, like a Crohn's flare-up. A flare-up sounds like something that's slightly annoying, right? A flare-up. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest about what this is. This is you being admitted to hospital, wiped out. An ambulance is being called on drips, weeks, months at a time. And these flare-ups can come from nowhere within hours, right? So you can't plan a holiday, a commitment with work, a birth. I mean, you can't plan anything without this nagging concern that what if it happens? What if it happens? And you have to learn to live with that, as well as wanting to compete. Like it is hugely debilitating. So for anybody to think that a flare-up, I just wanted to put some context around it, because we say flare-ups and it sounds like it's something that you could probably get over in a day. And this is a chronic condition. It is awful.
No, it is. And yeah, and the amazing people I've met, you know, who also suffer with it. You know, I think Molly from The Traitors has been a brilliant, you know, advocate as well for getting out there and raising awareness. You know, I've lucky enough not had to have a stoma bag yet. But yeah, I definitely agree with what you said, that my dancing has been my doctor. And, you know, being in hospital and having a dream, having a vision, you know, designing my next costume or thinking about some new dance moves or, you know, listening to music, like, it's given me a purpose to get myself well again, do you know what I mean? And, you know, to want to lift the British Championship trophy. I've always got to have goals to keep me going. That's just me as a person. So yeah, without my dancing, I'm not sure how, you know, would I have got myself out of these flare-ups as quick and as soon as I have done in the past. I'm not sure. And then with not suffering with Crohn's, would I have been the person I am today? Because I do think it's, you know, you do have to change as a person. It does change you. You know, when you get diagnosed with a lifelong condition, and, you know, it does teach you resilience and strength. And, you know, you've been in situations that not normal teenagers have been in. Yeah. And it's like the same with my cancer journey now. I'm definitely a different person to the person I was last year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I do think having a passion for something in life definitely helps. But also having the right people around you as well.
But it's the light you're always reaching for. And, you know, when I watched your documentary, I felt so glad that you had something that was your light to reach for. And then it made me think, gosh, what about all these other kids that are living like this, that don't have that, you know, that reason to get better?
I think that's it, the reason.
It? Yeah.
Yeah. And I would be pushing to get better as soon as I can to get back in the training room or not to miss out on another competition.
Because I don't know how you sustain good mental health when you have a chronic condition like Crohn's. And when you say it's lifelong, I mean, let's be really explicit.
It's a roller coaster.
There's no cure for it, right? You can have some medicines and some treatments that will help you to better manage it, but it is there in your life until something comes by way of science that changes that. But at the moment, that's the landscape that you are navigating, you and everybody else that's diagnosed with Crohn's.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess your mental health is like a roller coaster. Do you know what I mean? There are days where you ask yourself, why me? What did I do to deserve this? And, you know, it's not fair. You know, and then, you know, then you have days like, right, pick yourself up. Let's push ourselves to get out today. Let's do it. So, yeah, you know. But I am lucky enough that I have the most incredible team. The NHS are wonderful and we have it under control. So,
pleased.
You know, I'm so grateful to the NHS.
And also, what's it like in recent years, not having to keep it a secret anymore? That must have been a weight off your mind in so many
ways.
It was
like ripping a plaster off, it really was. And just be able to talk freely or for people to understand. Or, you know, when you have to maybe cancel last minute on an event or when you're out and you can't really eat what's available or you've got stomach pain or you're walking around with a hot water bottle and the Strictly Gan know straight away if I walk in with a hot water bottle, Amy's stomach's not very good. And the boys would all say, don't lift Amy today. Like, and sometimes I go to lift and the boys like, no, we know you're not well. We can tell.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah. The producers knew. So I told them straight away. And it was the first time, like, I felt accepted, I guess, because I was offered the job, and then I said, I need to tell you something. And I genuinely thought that when they would find out, that would be my chances gone of being on the show, because I'd had so many other rejections previously because of my Crohn's disease. And they were like, yep, that's fine, Amy. If you can go and win Blackpool, you can do Strictly. And for me, it was the first time I was like, Amy's been accepted and with Crohn's. And they just made me feel so relaxed and be like, you just tell us what you need from us. And yeah, they were absolutely incredible. And then after 2 years, I announced it. And like Katia and Neil always knew because they knew me from my competitive dancing. I lived with Oti. I can remember Oti opening my bathroom cupboard the one day because we lived together. She had the ensuite and I had the main bathroom, and I think she wanted toothpaste, and she just came into the bathroom, opened my cupboard and saw all this medication. She was like, what is this, Amy? And I was like, oh, come and sit on the bed. And I told her, and I remember she was quite emotional. And then obviously I had moments with Oti where I was sick in the middle of the night and things, and she looked after me. But it wasn't something I was very public about. And I guess I was scared because people do, you know, I guess judge you, and it doesn't define you as a person. It doesn't take away my talents or my work ethic or anything like that. And like I said, I didn't ask for this. And, you know, we're already punished enough by having to live with this for every day and have all the symptoms. You know, we don't need to be punished any more than we already are. Mm. And I didn't want to go on Strictly and celebrities maybe not want to dance with me because they thought I was a risk, or I don't know. I had all these things that you just worry about, which would never, ever be an issue. But I guess because of the rejection and what I faced before Strictly, it was always in the back of my mind. And I wanted the public to get to know me. And I didn't want it to be like, oh, she's only on the show because she's got Crohn's disease, something like this. I wanted them to know Amy the dancer. And I always used to get angry when people used to ask me about my Crohn's disease, not about ask how my dancing was. But it was only because people cared and loved me.
Yeah.
I used to be like, why are they asking me about my dancing? Because that's all I wanted to talk about. And I used to say, I'm Amy the dancer, not Amy with Crohn's disease. It doesn't define me. But then after speaking out and after doing my documentary and meeting so many incredible fellow sufferers and working with Crohn's and Colitis UK charity, I actually realised, actually, no, I'm Amy the dancer with Crohn's disease.
Yeah.
And speaking out about it was what actually made me accept my illness.
Really?
I don't think until then I really accepted it.
Wow. And when you went there, you really went there on the documentary. You held nothing back. You even insisted that your husband film you having what you call a flare-up, which is very distressing to watch.
I wanted to show the reality. I didn't want to glamour up. I've seen things in the past and I've been like, that's not a true reflection of Crohn's. And I wanted to do my fellow sufferers justice as well. I have family members who suffer with Crohn's disease, and I wanted to show the truth of it so people could understand. And I didn't want to, you know, glamour it up in any way. I wanted to, if I was going to do this, I'm a very honest and truthful person with my heart on my sleeve. And yeah, if we were doing it, we were doing it.
You really did.
So the nation could actually see what sufferers go through. And there's not enough awareness out there about Crohn's and colitis. There isn't a cure. And hopefully if people could understand what people go through, maybe one day there will be the science to go in, you know, to hopefully one day find a cure for us.
I think you humanised it, because I've read up on Crohn's before. I have friends that have Crohn's, but I'd never seen it played out in terms of the toll it takes on the human body and the human spirit. And that is what you were such a brilliant educator for that. Mm. You know, you shared
Thank
the pain.
You. Thank you so much.
And then of course, you become, you know, a spokesperson, is reluctantly, I guess, for Crohn's. But everything else in your life, apart from that, you know, everything else is going well. You're getting married. The wedding's been put off a couple of times purely because of the pandemic. And then just before you fly off on your honeymoon, you find a lump in your breast. And something told you, didn't it, that this is something that I need to worry about.
I just had this gut feeling. Yeah. I knew my body due to Copperfield Trek and the charity, and I just had this gut feeling. And I just think when you know. I always obviously had hope and positivity.
Had you been on a Copperfield trip by then, did you say?
Yeah, I'd been
so
on
you'd been
top.
Away with Chris and Giovanna.
Yeah, Giovanna, I'd been away in only in the June before. just before my wedding. So, and that's what got me checking my chest. So, being paired up with Tom, Brett, John, Shrippy, come down saying, and the Fletcher family has led me to say, you know, has potentially saved my life now, because of introducing me to Copperfield.
Yeah, it did, didn't it? Yeah, because Chris and Giovanna have been on the show talking about their treks before. And Chris is, again, you know, an example of a very young woman that received terrible diagnosis, as did you. You're a very young woman still. I think, you know, I hope that knowing those people was helpful to you when that terrible news came, Amy.
Yeah, absolutely. I can remember ringing Tom and telling him, and Tom and G got straight in the car and they did like an 8-hour round trip to come and see me. Yeah, G was on a trek. She just finished. She got home, drove 3 hours home. They got in the car. They drove to Wales. It was at my parents' house. Spent a couple of hours with me and then they drove back, bless them, yeah, because they wanted to be with me in person. But yeah, you know, it was a tough time. And I guess, you know, I'm still processing everything now. Because everything happened so fast.
So fast. I mean, this was last year. This was last May. You got the diagnosis. It's less than a year ago.
Yeah. And since then, you know, I've had mastectomy, fertility treatment, chemotherapy, blood clots, sepsis, a broken foot. You know, lost my hair. Like, you know, I'm still in recovery, I guess, from chemo. For the length of time you have chemo, the length of time it takes to recover. So, yeah. It's also very real at the moment and raw.
Yeah, it's a lot to be dealing with and a lot to keep talking about. But thank you for sharing some of it, because you know what? You've educated me on Crohn's disease. If somebody's listening to this now, I hope they're doing what I've done, which is just fiddle around in my bra, just going, okay, I'm going to make sure I check my boobs tonight.
Please you do. Know? Like, check once and then, you know, get to know your own chest and any change. Just go to the GP straight away. Because early prognosis can save lives, and you know,
never worry, you're going to be a bother to somebody. Just go in there and have it checked. The worst that's going to happen is that you've got there in time, and you can, as you discovered, were able to get treated as quickly as possible.
Yeah,
the best that can happen is it's nothing to worry about.
Exactly, and you know, I'm very lucky that I got diagnosed with grade 3, so the most aggressive type of cancer. Had I waited a couple more weeks, because my tumor doubled in size in 2 weeks, don't know what could have happened. So, and you know, I never thought at 32 years old I would be diagnosed with breast cancer. I do not carry the BRCA gene. Is just, you know, and I was, you know, my fittest of times, my health, fit and healthy, you know, just got married. I was going off on my honeymoon. I was not stressed. And this come along and it was something that, you know, I definitely, even this time last year, when I was on the Strictly Come Dancing Arena Tour, I didn't think in 3 months' time that I would have been facing this journey.
Yeah, you've done so well.
Oh, thank you.
Continued success with your recovery.
Thank you.
I can't wait to see you do a kickball change.
No, me.
She'll be back in no time.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Shh. Should we move to the next question?
Yeah.
I want to talk to you about Strictly.
Yay.
From the moment Strictly came on air, I think you were a young girl.
Yeah.
The moment you saw that show, you were like, that's what I want to be. It was literally your one and only goal. Am I right? I mean, obviously you wanted to be a competitive dancer, but that was only so that it would get you to Strictly.
Absolutely.
And that's, I've got that right, yeah?
Yes, absolutely.
So then the call comes and you can realise that dream. And mm-hmm. you then have to drop the news that, by the way, I've got Crohn's, you might not want me. And they're like, we don't care. So suddenly, like, the double doors to your dream life are opened and in you go, wow, wow, wow. Tell me about that moment and the other moments that have been life-defining and life-changing for you in the best ways possible.
When Strictly Come Dancing called, it was, I still remember it now, life-changing and unbelievable. How did they find you, Amy? So they poached me. They'd seen me at competitions and they'd been following me for a little while. They got in contact with me. Yeah. And, you know, I was so grateful. And I'd never in a million years would have thought that they would have come asking me. And they asked me if I could come down to London. And I met up with the producers. And, yeah, and then they called and I was like, would you like to join the lineup? And, you know, to be the first ever Welsh professional dancer to join that lineup. And I'll never forget calling my parents and my dad. He's a builder and he was working in someone's house. And I said, Dad, can you go and sit in the van, please? And he did. And I said, Dad, I'm going to be the first Welsh professional dancer to join Strictly Come Dancing. And he burst into tears. And I was like, but you can't tell anybody. And he had to wipe away his tears and go back inside with the boys and act like everything was fine. Yet he wanted to shout it from the rooftops. I could just, the excitement and... And I can remember joining the gang, the Strictly family, for the first time and being so nervous. There's, you know, Anton Dubek and Brendan Cole, who I'd watched in Series 1, and Kevin Clifton, and I was a super fan of, and there I am, going to be dancing with them all summer. And then the first time going onto the Strictly set and getting to walk down the famous stairs, and I cried all day because I just couldn't believe this was happening to me. And like every year, I still have like a pinch me moment. And, you know, before every live show, I just take it in and be like, look how far you've come. And like making that final with Karimza Rawell in 2019 and just before the final, like just thinking, gosh, you know, only a couple of years ago, I'd spent 6 weeks in hospital and to think like how far I come. And I can remember in the final not being able to look at my mum and dad or my husband and my sister in the audience because I would have just burst into tears. I can remember just saying to Karim, like, just enjoy every beat and every second of tonight. And I'd go back and do that final in a flash. But, you know, there's been so many moments every single year with all my partners that I've just, you know, I've just been, I guess, the equivalent of winning for me. With Brian Conley, we've made, my husband and I, a lifelong friend. He's like a dad to us both, to be honest with you.
So, Amy, he came on the show and talked about you and that experience.
He
was so pleased that you got to do that as a first-time experience together.
Yeah. He's such a great, great man. But he was our MC at our wedding. And we're still such good friends now. Actually, when I rang him to tell him the news about my cancer, he honestly, he was winded, he said, when found dead. He rang my dad straight afterwards. But he taught me the world of television. I taught him to dance because, you know, I'd just come up with dance world and be competitive dance and dancing world. I didn't know anything about TV world and finding the red light and the interviews and everything like that. But he took me and Ben under his wing. And then the second year, partnered with Danny John, Jules made the first 10 and my first ever 10 of the series. The following year, making it all the way to the final with Karim, and he was like a little brother to me. Then I got to dance with JJ Chalmers, a Royal Marine, and like me, spent a lot of time in hospital, and we learned so much from each other. And, you know, I shared quite a lot of similar, you know, moments, you know, through our own different journeys and battles. And yeah, I was just so proud of him because he got all the way to the quarterfinals. This is a man here from the Marines. And, you know, dancing, performing, anything like that. He's never done anything like it. And he's also learning how to deal with a new body in a sense. And he, when he came on the show, couldn't lift his arms higher than this. And you should have seen him by the quarterfinals and what he was doing. And he said to me that dancing was the best rehab he could have had, and for me that was better than winning. And I was just so proud of him. And then I was partnered with Tom, who is him and G. I just feel like I've known a lifetime, and
they're proper good souls, those two, aren't they?
That's what we are, with soul friends. That's what we always say. Yeah. And yeah, we just honestly every week was just an utter joy being in the studio, and his talents and his musicality, and they just welcomed me into the Fletcher family. And we had such, we sobbed so much when we got voted out, and it wasn't about winning. It was just, we were having such a wonderful time. And just watching Tom and his boys embrace his Strictly journey and them wanting to get involved. That was brilliant. To then get to dance with James Bay from EastEnders. Like every single year, I've had so many standout moments, which, yeah, it's really hard to just like pick a few.
Do you know what's so lovely though is, none of it's wasted on you, Amy.
Thank you. You
drink it in like you're the thirstiest woman on that dance floor. You love it. Aww. You can see that. You see that in your documentary when you're walking people around the set and you're going, oh, you know, here we are, we're at rehearsals. You know that's, there's nowhere you'd rather be.
No. And every year waiting for the call to find out if you're back, I'm like so nervous and I just want to know, like, and they always ring and they're like, so how are you? And you're a bit like, yeah, I'm back. Like, I just want to know, like, just tell
just
me.
Say it.
And like, I celebrate, like, it's my first year back on the show and I don't take any of it for granted.
So you never know at the end of one season if you're coming back for the next.
No, you don't know. So yeah, that way to just like, because you just, yeah, you don't want the dream to end, I guess.
Of course you don't. I mean, we've recently had like Dan Walker on and Krishan and Guru Murthy. Both of them have literally, I mean, they're in love with the ballroom. They've drunk the Kool-Aid.
But that's the joy of the whole show is, you know, and that's our job. Like, yeah, winning would be amazing. And don't get me wrong, I'd love to live that glitter ball. But just getting someone to fall in love with our world, that is just, yeah, that's, and spread your love of dancing with them. And I think it's true, you know, those Dan Walker, Tom, all of them, they live in proof of it. I mean, they all love it and get sucked into it. And yeah, it's just something about ballroom and Latin dancing. And I think it brings joy to them, but it also brings joy to the nation.
So if all of your big life-changing, defining, joyous moments sit so far in Strictly, then let's unpick this and work out the other big moments that got you there. Blackpool, winning, becoming a national champion. You wouldn't have done that had you not been in the arms of the right partner. So let's rewind to that, shall we? Because the age of 19 was a big year for you. You finally got a diagnosis as to what it was that was putting you in hospital so often. You got your Crohn's disease, but you also got a dance partner who's called Ben, who's now Mr. Amy.
Yeah, so Ben and I used to be each other's rivals, actually. And then our teachers thought we would look better together, so we got paired up. And I think I knew straight away, you know, when I was very giggly around him, wanting to impress him. And yeah, Ben changed my life. I think we, you know, changed each other's lives, I think. It's like he always says, I had such determination. We're very different, but they always say opposites work. And he is such a talented soul. Like, he's a far more talented dancer than I am, and he's so creative. And do you know what, getting to win Blackpool together, to share that moment and that moment in history, not many
you're the
people
first all British couple for 20 years to do
first all British couple in 20 years. And you know, to be able to do that with my now husband, wow, what a moment we get to share, and we get to, you know, keep and hold in our hearts forever. And we run a dance academy together, so we get to pass our knowledge on. So, yeah, and it's just something special about being able to dance with the person you love. Yeah, it's just lovely. And he gets my world when I go off onto Strictly. He gets it, and he's there, and he's helping me behind the scenes. Yeah, he's a wonderful soul. And, you know, he's been through so much with me as well with my health. And he stays so calm and so positive. And in a crisis, everybody needs a Ben.
When did you know that you loved him?
I think like 2 weeks after dancing with him. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So this guy that you'd been in competition with for so long, he would have been on the circuit, right? So yeah. Where's Ben from? Which part of the country is
he's
he from?
He's from Dudley.
Right, so yeah. That's why you're in the Midlands. Right, got it. So he's from Dudley. You come across each other on the competition circuit, which is like basically a lot of weekends given over to your mum and dad, yeah. Driving you around the country, getting changed in the back of the car, applying copious amounts of hairspray and face gel to hold on, like face glue to hold on sequins, and off you go and compete, right? And you, so this guy is like always there, always winning, and you're thinking, I'm going to beat you.
Yeah. And we never really spoke to each other.
For how long?
Yeah, we never spoke to each other much in the competitive world. Shake hands in a lineup or might say hello, how are you? We didn't really know much of each other until we were like in a tryout together. And then like we decided we were going to dance with each other. And it went very full on in terms of like Blackpool was coming up in 6 weeks and we had to get all our routines together. So I pretty much moved in with Ben. So we went from
all... You moved in with him?
Yeah.
So I was going to say, geographically, how do you make a dance partnership work when you're in Wales and he's in Dudley?
Yeah, so like to get ready for Blackpool, I pretty much moved in to his family home. And I think his mum and dad could see it between us straight away. I think everybody could. Yeah. And I don't know, like, I just couldn't imagine myself with anybody else.
Strange question to ask about a couple who are professional dancers, but who made the first move?
Ooh, I'm going to say him, but he would say me. So who knows?
Brilliant. Picking up that award in Blackpool, I mean, that's everything that a boring Latin American dancer that's competed for years and years and years, that's everything, isn't it? I mean...
Everybody dreams
with the man
to win
that you
Blackpool.
Love.
Yeah.
Everyone's and you were together been... by then, right?
Yes, we were together, yes.
But only recently together?
Well, we were like together. We just didn't tell anybody.
Oh.
Because our coaches were always like, don't get together because if the relationship breaks down, the partnership would break down because it'd be really hard to continue dancing together. So we were like secretly together, but everybody deep down knew.
God, you are the mistress of secret keeping, yeah. Aren't you? The crones, the husband, the lot.
Yeah. So like everybody would be like around us, no, and ask us and we'd be like, no. And our parents used to speak to one another and be like, they're together, aren't they? And nobody really, they knew, but they didn't really know or they didn't want to ask. And they'd be like, why have they danced like that rumba really well together? Or there's something going on. But I think deep down, all our friends definitely knew. And when I got on Strictly, the press had rang and said, are you in a relationship? And I can remember being like on the phone and going, hold on a second, but then Ben, what am I going to say? And Ben was like, should we just say it? And I was like, okay, I'm in a relationship. And I can remember then going to the studio and all my little girls that I teach were like, in the newspaper, it says you have a boyfriend. Who is it? And I was like, Ben. And they were like, Ben? They were like, what do you mean, Ben? So I was like, yeah. And all the mums were like, we knew. It was no surprise to anybody.
Oh, that's so lovely.
Yeah.
I mean, you think he's a more talented dancer than you. Has he ever wanted to do the Strictly routine with you and follow you onto the show?
I think he would be incredible on it and amazing. Probably, yeah, I would say. But he's so busy with the dance school and judging all around the UK.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, he's brilliant at what he does and he helps me out. Yeah, I think he'd be a great asset if he was to ever join the show.
Yeah. I've watched some of your footage. He's pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
You two do trip the light fantastic together. And I do think there is something really wonderful about watching two people who are as talented as you two, but the fact that you love each other and you are in love and then you wrap around that everything you've been through together. I don't know what it is, Amy. It just makes it, you can't take your eyes off the pair of you. It's a lovely thing to watch.
Oh, thank you.
It's that love moving across the floor. I love that. I love that. I'm glad you found your perfect partner in every sense of the word.
Well, thank you.
Ready for your last question?
Yes, go for it.
Imagine I'm giving you three blank thank you cards.
Okay.
I want to know who you're going to send them to mm-hmm. and what you're going to write in them.
Okay, so my first one would be to my mum and dad. And that would be like they've devoted their lives to Rebecca, Lloyd, and myself, my twin sister, my brother. My dad worked 7 days a week for us. We're growing up to be able to provide and give us the opportunities and for us to follow our dreams. And my mum just sacrificed everything. And they've been through so much as well, having to watch me battle with my health and even recently, and I could just see the pain in their eyes, watching me go through everything. And my mum has battled cancer twice herself. And I just think, everybody...
Amy, that's tough. I'm sorry, I didn't know that.
Everybody who meets my parents just falls in love. Like Diane just says, they're her British parents. They're all of the Shrugley lot just love them. Everybody just falls in love with them. My dad has got a great sense of humour. But yeah, they've just taught me, resilience, hard work, never to give up on our dreams. They push Lloyd and Rebecca and I to follow our careers and push us, when we needed pushing, but also, just making sure we were always happy. And they honestly devoted their lives to us. And I guess they showed us what true love is as well and respect. Yeah, they, we are very, very lucky.
Is your mum recovered? Is she?
Oh, yes, she has.
Out of remission?
Yes. She's done really, really well. Really, really well. Absolutely, yeah. Super proud.
Well, we know where you get that determination to recover from, don't we?
Exactly. And then, obviously, another thank you has to go to my husband, because without Ben, I wouldn't have achieved my dreams. And he's pushed me and picked me up when I needed it. He's been with me at the lowest of points and also my highest accolades in life. But also, he put his career on hold and finished his competitive career to allow me to go off and continue to live my dreams and go on Strictly. So he stopped competitive dancing. In order for me to go off. And, I know deep down he wasn't ready to hang his dancing shoes up competitively, but he did that in order for me to fill my dreams. And there's not many men out there, I believe, who would have done that in our dancing world. It's normally known as the man's world. And now he supported and believed in me. And he sacrificed his dreams for me.
Act of love.
And that's something that I'll never be able to thank, and I appreciate, and I truly respect about him. I couldn't have got to where I am to have gotten Strictly. So, yeah, one big thank you has to go to him. And it's so hard.
Got one more left.
Can I have four or five?
Of course you can. I'm not going to refuse you anything. I'm your greatest fan. You're not going to hear the word no from me.
Another big thank you to go to Philip and Carol Perry, my first dance teachers, who still guide me to this day.
Oh, do they? Yes. I met them. I saw them on your documentary.
Yes. And your big grandson, Lloyd Perry, was on Baby Borum.
With me?
Yes. I was in the audience that night as well. With Eleanor.
No way.
They were the Welsh ones, yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah, Yellow, Team Yellow.
This is a show I hosted a long time ago, and we only did one season of it. Baby Boring. Were you in the audience, Amy?
I was in the audience. With Philip and Carol. Yes. And Lloyd Perry and Eleanor Lewis. Yeah, we're done. In the Yellow Team.
Jeez. Yeah. And they really, they saw something in you. And it was weird because they were teaching you and your twin sister, right? And your sister,
yes.
I'm guessing, because I used to do baby ballroom. I was a child ballroom and Latin American dancer on the competition circuit, much like yourself. And I don't know if you ever came across my dance teacher as a judge, Freddie Clark from the Clark School of Dance. No, I used to work with Len quite a bit, the late lovely queen. I really understood that world and I loved that world. And I also understood the importance of a teacher getting you and seeing your potential, but trying to push you. But equally, there was no boys doing ballroom dancing, right? So I had to dance with my male partner was my my cousin Samantha.
Yeah.
And for you, it was your sister, right?
Yeah.
But they could see that. So was it both of you that had a talent, or
yeah,
was it just
they
you?
Both. Yeah, both. And they've supported us now. My sister still teaches for them now. She's a midwife, but still teaches for their dance school. And I turned to Carol and Philip for everything. You know, guidance for when I wanted to go on Strictly. They support me when I had flare-ups, and Mum and Dad were on holidays. Rebecca picked up the phone to them. It's like, Amy's just been rushed into hospital, and Philip and Carol get there and, you know, bring all the stuff that I'd need. And, you know, Philip did a speech at my wedding. But they taught me my first love of dance, and they give me the wings for dancing. And then I went off and spread my wings. And I had an incredible coach in America, Richard Porter, who I need to thank as well, who pushed Ben and I. But Philip and Carol were the ones that, without them, I wouldn't have fell in love with this world of dance. And I can remember meeting them and thinking, the first time I met them, the most glamorous couple I've ever met. And they're just such humble, but just such hardworking people. And they have pure love for dance shown through. And they, you know, and that's what they taught me. But like when I teach, people say I teach like them now. And I'm really proud to say that I teach like them. And Philip's birthday party's coming up. And, you know, he's also battled with lymphoma. And just recently he got through that, and then I had my diagnosis, and you know, they've been through it. When I didn't want to do chemotherapy, I can remember talking to Carol and saying that I wasn't sure if I was going to do chemo, and I was saying to her, Carol, I'm doing my egg retrieval, and she kind of said, well, what's the point doing that if you're not going to be around if you don't do chemo? But I needed the tough love. I can remember my twin sister saying to her, thank you, we've all been treading down eggshells around here, thank you, Carol. But she always gave me tough love when I needed it. And you know, and then when I won the British, I give them my flowers, because you get presented a bouquet of flower. And I always said to Carol that if I ever win the British, I would give them to her. And that, you know, I was so proud to be in that moment to be able to do that for her. So yeah, I'd have to thank them. They're like second.
That's amazing. God, those two have really had, they've left a sort of handprint on your heart, haven't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, for always and forever. Yeah, for sure. And
that's
then,
incredible.
Another thank you would have to be to Strictly Come Dancing, obviously, and the BBC for giving me this opportunity. And then from Strictly Come Dancing, like they've given me and my family so much joy over the years. Do you know what I mean? Like my parents have always been a big fans of the show, and I've been able to give them opportunities. But it's the opportunities that has also come from it, and the people I've got to meet, and just like doing this podcast today. But also without them, I wouldn't have been able to raise the awareness for Crohn's and colitis and breast cancer, and I had those, you know, so I'm forever grateful for them. And you know, they've changed my life and my husband's life, do you know what I mean, and my family's life from going on to Strictly Come Dancing. And then I think my last thank you, I could do a million thank yous, mate, so this is really hard. So anyone listening, my friends and family, everyone who got me to where I am, I love you all and I want to thank you all. But the other one has to be to my twin sister and my brother. Obviously my twin and I are best friends, and we've been through everything together, and she is like my biggest cheerleader, and my brother. But they also sacrificed so much growing up in order for me to fulfill my dreams and dreams. And I just appreciate and when I thank them.
What do you think that they gave up? Because I think as well, you know, I should point out here that Crohn's can be a genetic condition, but neither your twin nor your brother has Crohn's. So you were always in and out of hospital. That must have been quite tough, actually.
It would be,
for them as siblings.
My mum and dad was a lot at the hospital with me and not around for them, and the worries it'd give them. But also because I'd be away so much dancing, and mum and dad would be taking them and the expense and everything, or would have to move family holidays around and things like this. So, you know, they gave a lot in most of the weeks of the night. Dad was driving me around for different dance classes, and on weekends, as you know, up and down the country for competitions. So yeah, they you know, they had to sacrifice a lot in order for me. And I think as a child, you don't really notice it until you get older and then you see it and you're like, Lloyd, I'm so sorry. Like, and I'm so loud as it is, and I'd always be dancing in front of the TV and so noisy. And I can remember one day being like, where is Lloyd? And because he's older than us, 3 years older. And he was sat in his car trying to study for his A-levels because I was so loud in the house dancing. And I was thinking, oh, now I look back and go, oh my goodness, I was so bad. You know, I'm very
lucky. Did your twin go on to pursue dancing with the same kind of grit and determination as you?
Yeah, and she became world formation Latin champion with her team. She didn't stop dancing competitively until 25, 26, I think. And she still teaches it now, yeah. She's a midwife, but she still dances and she still has great passion for it.
Wow. Oh, you can have as many thank you cards as you like, Amy.
Thank you.
I could listen to you talk forever, especially about those early days of competing, because I'm just the smell of it all. I can remember the smell of the, do you remember the body glitter that you used to wear? Because fake tan wasn't, well, certainly when I was younger, you couldn't fake tan, but you could cover up a multitude of sins by just spraying this horrible body glitter all over yourself. And that's what I used to do. And I was in a formation dance troupe. When you just said that about your sister, I was like, I remember that. I was in a disco formation troupe called the Scalamanders.
Yeah.
We were crap.
I bet you wasn't.
I got a few medals, but not with the troop, no. We were a bit all over the place. Yeah, but you know what? It was so lovely to have something that I cared about so passionately.
Yeah.
Up until I was about 14, 15, I danced. And I used to teach the kids in exchange for lessons on a Saturday morning so that I could do more dance classes. You know,
I did the same.
To have that passion. Did
you?
Yeah,
I did the same, yeah.
Yeah. So I used to teach like really basic cha-cha and waltz steps and maybe a quick step. But, you know, I still now, if somebody says cha-cha to me, I go side, back, replace, cha-cha-cha, forward, back, cha-cha-cha, back, replace, cha-cha-cha, turn, cha-cha-cha. I have to do it in my head. It's like some sort of weird superstition. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, it's glorious to have something you love so young in life, to understand passion, even if you don't carry it into adulthood, like as I haven't. To understand the pertinence of passion. And I'm so glad that you had it, because I think it's been a life raft in so many ways for you.
Definitely. Yeah. Thank you.
You're every bit as joyous as I was hoping you would be. Oh, thank you for your time today.
You. No, thank you. And thank you for having me on, honestly. Thank you.
Ah, how wonderful was Amy. And for more chat from the ballroom, you can hear episodes in our back catalogue with her first ever Strictly Celeb partner. Brian Connolly's in there, Giovanna Fletcher's in there, as well as judges Craig Revel Hallward, Shirley Ballas, Dame Arlene Phillips is there, as are Jeanette and Aliash. And as we discussed, those that have drunk the glitter ball Kool-Aid, Krishnan Guru Murphy and Dan Walker, talking about how dance has transformed them. I'll be back on your feeds next Tuesday with a mini midweek episode. Until then, thank you, as always, for lending us your ears. Remember that you can always find us on Instagram. So go follow us at whitewine_questiontime. And also, please hit the follow button on Spotify. Thank you so much for listening.
White Wine Question Time is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.